Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being with us at the earnings conference call for Serena for the year of 2024, and also referring to the last quarter of 2024. We closed the year with a production 18% higher than in 2023. The EBITDA reached almost 2 billion, 1.95 billion reals. This good performance was substantially supported by the increase in commercialization margins by 20% in the year-on-year, 2024 against 2023, reaching 322.7 per megawatt hour, and also due to a good management of costs and optimizations, which reduced our cost by approximately 90 million reais. These two things were able to neutralize the impacts that still persist of resources below P50, curtailment above plan, delay in the connections of distributed generation, and short-term prices lower than our plan in Texas, as discussed during the year. We continue to be well-disciplined in the financial area. We ended the year with a net debt of over EBITDA of 4.4 times, which is below our goal announced in the last 2 years of ending 2024 below 4.5. And this debt of 4.4 is 2.4 times lower than the 6.8 peak reached in 2023, when our investment program included the construction of Goodnight 1, Assuruá 4, and Assuruá 5. In terms of prospects for 2025, and as 2024 is connected to 2025, we had in December an important fact. We signed preliminary contracts to provide long-term energy for a technology company in the U.S. with Goodnight 1 and 2. And now we have to organize a capital structure that's efficient for the project, bringing investors so that we can make this project feasible and launch it in coming months. Despite the curtailment having a relatively low impact in our portfolio compared to the average in the market, we have worked with one more curtailment in the year and have worked with portfolio management and some regulatory optimizations to try to mitigate this event. Our distributed generation that had a delay last year due to the connection with distribution companies are almost all connected, 83% of them connected. So this will have a lower impact in 2025. And in addition, for the year, we decided to make some adjustments to our reporting and capital structure approach, and we'll explain how this will happen in the next slides. Overall, the production economic was 10% below plan, 6.5% resulting from P50, 6.5% generation below P50, 1% regarding the distributed generation delay, and the rest resulting from curtailment. It's always important to highlight that the economic impact of these effects is less than the impact in volume because we're able to make hedges, and so we have the energy at prices lower than our contracts. So the effect of generation below plan is lessened. One of the main KPIs that we ended the year at the production 80 above, 237 gigawatt hour, above 10,000, a gross profit in the next quarter of almost 1 billion reais is a very strong quarter, and the year of 275 for an EBITDA of 1.5 and a cash earnings of 237 million for the year, with the earnings yield that was very good for the year. Regarding EBITDA, translating all these figures into the building blocks of EBITDA, curtailment production had an impact on EBITDA on 180 million downwards. Our sales in savings in OEM and costs have offset 86 million of that. So 86 million were managed through expenses and costs, and the good results on sales energy. And the platform had a very good year of almost 100 million reais in gross profit, reached led to EBITDA of 1.95 billion for the year. We have, since 2022, we have made important relationships in energy sales with the platform, with the gross profit of 86 million in 2024, as well as at the asset level. An asset level transactions had an NPV of 380 million reais with agreements announced last year with Cargill, Odata, Land Mine, Scala, etc., of which a portion is absolutely additional to our business plan. None of these values were included in the budget, and 180 million have already impacted the EBITDA in 2024. And I would like to highlight a transaction that was very good. In December, we closed a sales agreement which changed the revenue in reais, in dollars, for revenues in reais in 2024, because the exchange rate reached a very high peak at the end of the year, and we decided to make this transaction. So we sold this future position in dollars with a commercialization agreement and had a result in reais in exchange for a result in reais in 2024. The average exchange rate it's at 9.51. It seems a very good rate, and if you consider the rates. So if you were to make a right calculation in terms of trade, it created a lot of value, because in practice, last year we had a negative taxable base. So this trade had an implicit of 7.5% in real terms, in terms of BRL cost below our marginal capital cost. So it was a very positive transaction. It's important to highlight that we have made some transactions to that purpose, which has nothing to do with securitizations of receivables. It has no impact on the balance sheet. We have closed long PPAs in dollars in the middle of the year, incremental to the budget of the year or to the business plan, so they were not budgeted. And at the end of the year, we were able to exchange this long-term revenue in dollars for revenue in reais in 2024 that were advantageous in the point of view of exchange rate and energy link, which created results in reais way above the earnings that were expected in dollars. So this is a good deal, because the purpose of the company is to maximize its margin when in selling energy. So this diverse asset base with 17 years of experience selling energy here in the United States has increased results for the company every year in 2022, 2023, 347 added value, and 280 in 2024. So we believe that this is a recurring business for the company that will help us distinguish our profitability along the years due to this type of transaction. In terms of curtailment, there was a curtailment of gross profit of 2.9%, and that was below the market average, which was restricted to the region in Bahia where the incidence is higher. And it's good that the fact of Açuruá is focused on the evening and night period, so we are less exposed to the critical curtailment during the day. So this exposure to free market agreements enables us to reorganize that at an advantageous position. But we have taken measures to mitigate that in two fronts. One is to take the demand of customers to closer to our projects so that we are not exposed to transmission costs. So we closed the year with 20 megawatts of data processing capacity in Bahia. We want to reach 100 megawatts until the first quarter of 26, and we want to reduce that reduces curtailment. And there are adjustments to the regulatory framework that we'll be able to promote in the coming months as an industry that will decrease the curtailment effects. For example, we believe that it doesn't make any sense to have curtailment for reserve energy because the role of reserve energy is to be a backup for the system. So we have worked on that. So we believe that in the medium term, the effects will be zero in our EBITDA. We are considering an impact in the curtailment still, but there is a prospect of eliminating that in coming years. So we also decided, after talking to our board and maturing this idea, we decided to discontinue the practice of giving guidance, being aligned with the renewable energy companies worldwide. This doesn't mean that we have performed poorly. On the contrary, we provided guidance, and if we compare the guidance and our deliveries, we delivered above the guidance. But we believe in a model that it can report the results and explain the variations and the differences year on year is a more consistent and better way to provide information. So we'll work on having an analysis of production and more in-depth analysis of everything, financial production, and keeping track of the company development through time. For 2025, it's not a guidance, but the EBITDA should be probably higher than 2024. So it was a good time to make this transaction of no longer giving guidance. In our last program of investments started in 2022 when investments Açuruá 4 and 5, and we brought Atis to complete the cash we were short of. It's natural in an infrastructure company to have an initial funding, which impacts the balance sheet. So net debt over EBITDA goes up. But in terms of expenses, the company has always been well structured, as proven. And as you start to generate revenue from these new assets, then you go back to the convergence and long-term convergence lever for an operational portfolio. So in order to have more clarity on these mechanics, also based on other companies with a benchmark made based on companies outside Brazil, the capital structure, we want to formalize that, which is already practiced in-house, to provide a leverage range, which is a base level, 3.75 times net debt over EBITDA, with more or less 10% range for CRU's leverage ratio. And But of course, once the board approves our future investment program, if it is the case, to be able to increase the leverage up to 1.75 times for a specific investment that will be a convergence for in the plan. And after this new assets are built, the ratio would go back to the range that we established for the long term. So we have formalized this policy. We have ended the year below 4.5. So we want to be within this year, within this range. And this will start as of now. About details for 2025, some highlights. We are a bit conservative. We believe that the EBITDA will be pretty much in line compared to 2024. We're more conservative regarding resources in the Northeast, but the prices in Texas are on a forward curve that is at good levels, and the variability of prices in Texas in as of 2026 will be decreased, so we probably have a good stable year. And in terms of new investments, we are focused on enabling Goodnight 1 and 2 with the correct capital structure. Last year we made a capital structure closed with one investor. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. So we ended the process in December, and we want to be able to launch Goodnight 2 as quickly as possible. And now we have high prices in the U.S. for energy, so there is a very high return potential after the re-rating, especially because it's a de-risk project since this funding structure we are organizing. There is a tax equity, Japanese funders, etc. So we are pursuing that, and as long as we have some material information, we'll share with you. With regards to the amortization curve for the year, we have significant maturity, which is DS-11, the venture that's in the middle of the year, that matures in the middle of the year. We have contracted a long-term funding structure that will replace that, and the outlook of this amortization will be close to the chart on the right side of the slide. So totally solved in terms of cash. And there is a very high appetite in the Brazilian capital market to support us. In December and January, it was a tougher market, but there are several investors that want to take part in this transaction that is closed, and therefore, this is not something that will take more of our time. So just to wrap up, the company remains loyal to its investment thesis, supported by consistent performance. If we look at the last 2 years, 2023 and 2024, we delivered an EBITDA slightly above our guidance, our initial guidance at 3.5, and we delivered 3.6 for both years. And the fact that we have contracts at 10 years forward with high quality customers. But nevertheless, we're looking for good sales opportunities in that we can realize and then create margins and good results for the company, as I mentioned. So this sales rate has helped us to distinguish our earnings when compared to the competition. And the financial discipline, which is something we have always followed since the foundation of the company, following good financial practices with a rate that is close to convergence within the range of our policy, which is close to 4 times or below 4 times throughout 2025.